Well, thank you. You're so kind, and we're happy to be here. This reminds me of the days when I would preach in the mountains, and the air conditioner would break down. And we'd raise the windows. Back then, we didn't have windows like this, and people would sit outside in the windows. And you ever see anybody get so happy in order they jump out the window? I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here, and your pastor and his wife. I have a Pam, that's my wife's name, and they are so much alike. Pam wanted to say hello to you guys. She would have come. Normally we would just fly, but we couldn't get a pilot today, believe it or not. But we drove up, which is a beautiful drive, but she would be here. But she is getting a big lodge ready for 14 interns that are coming from Ramp Hamilton, Alabama, to Cleveland. And so she's there today doing that, and so she said hello to everybody. But Pastor, I just appreciate you so much. And the overflow room, thank you for being there. Going to get right into the word just a minute. I want to follow them. Will this feedback if I walk down there? Good microphone. Good sound man. That's a good sound man. You have to have a building. The plant only grows as big as the pot that it's in. So when you expand the pot, the fruit and the tree gets larger automatically because the root system has to have room to grow. I would normally do this in private because I'd never let my left hand know what my right hand is doing. That's how I function. And there's a lot of things we've done recently that no one knows anything about, and they shouldn't know about because it's between us and the Lord and the family and the ministry. But I do this for what I feel in my spirit, to build the faith of your congregation. This facility, this possible building, they may ask you to put something down. And the Lord spoke to me for our ministry to give you $50,000 for your building. Some reason, I don't know if it's the bank or the building or who owns the building, but that amount will be significant. But I want you to tell them, guys, I want the building. Somebody's already given me this amount to put down on it. And why would I do that? First of all, because the Lord tells you to do it. Why not? And the second reason is I will put investing our ministry money, because it's not mine. It's our ministry. It's God's. He gave it into where God is about to move. And I'm not going to tell you what all we've done recently, but this is the will of the Lord. And I just felt like that there was a little bit, you've said nothing to me, but I feel like there's been that little bit of a weight of how and what. So the Lord just wanted you to be happy while I preach. He wants you to be happy. And that's messed me up. I'm going to have to fall out in the spirit and you take over. Seriously. I just want you to know how thrilled we are. I promise you I'm going to get into the word. Where's that Warrior Fest group? Was that a wild meeting? Wait till next year. No. You have no idea who's coming next year. We're already making some contacts. It's going to get crazy. So I'm looking to see you guys down there every time we have one. You all are so great, so much. And is that you, Vicky? Vicky, thank you for being here. I think this is your church now, right? Is that right? They're friends from way back who traveled and helped us on the road so many years. And you and your husband both, thank you for all. I get busy and I forget to say thank you, and I don't stay in touch with people. You all know that. I just don't do that. But we want to say we honor you, Pam and I both, for all your years. You should have been at Louisville. It was the greatest one we had yet. I know y'all used to love that church. All right, I got to preach. For the next few moments, I want you to just give me your attention as the Spirit of God directs me in this. There is a sign, S-I-G-N, that is one of the final signs that will have to take place that will coincide with the greatest outpouring of the Spirit. And I want to say something to you. The Spirit of God is being poured out literally all over the world. It's tremendous what God is doing. But you listen to me. We have not yet seen what's about to happen. It's going to happen on local level, state level, national, and international level. We're going to deal with that in the next few moments. So if you have your Bible, Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. And I want to read this verse to you, and I want to point out something at the end of it. And pay careful attention, because we're going to plow a little bit, dig a little bit, revelate a little bit, and hopefully get this entire picture presented to this congregation in the overflow room and in the main sanctuary. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. Now it shall come to pass afterwards. Everybody say afterwards. It's a very important word there. That I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, that is the older generation of men and women. That's why it distinguishes between the sons and daughters, the youth, men servants and maid servants, which is the older generation. Please keep that in mind. I will pour out my Spirit on those days. Now, this coincides with it. This will begin to happen, and some of this already has. I will show wonders in the heavens. And on in the earth, and in the earth, somebody say, in the earth, there will be blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Three different things. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood. Now, here's the phrase, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. King James says the great and terrible day of the Lord. Most evangelical scholars will agree that he's referring to the time called Great Tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, also the book of Revelation, which we are not in it yet. Honey, I know it feels like it. COVID is a demon from hell. How many of you agree with me on that? But we are not in the tribulation yet, but we're seeing little what I call pre-signs of it. So these events, what I'm about to explain to you about this last sign, happens before the great tribulation occurs. And so when you see it happening, what would your deduction be? Your deduction would be, well, the Lord must be coming soon, because if we are, and you may not be, but I'm pre-trib. I've studied it for so long that I've came to that conclusion. So if that's true, then we are near the coming of the Lord. Now, let me talk about the book of Joel for just a moment. We're going to talk about the book of Acts chapter 2. Joel is a very unique book. It has three chapters to it. Chapter 1 is a chapter that deals with total devastation of Israel and the land and the crops. And then you come into from chapter 1, which is devastation. Chapter 2 is restoration. Because how many of you know, let me just talk to you and tell you something. If we do not believe that God restores, we need to pack up and go home. Because how many times in your life have you needed a restoration of something? And so God is a God of restoration. So in chapter 2, you see this real fantastic. The oil vats will be full. Now that's olive oil. The wine, that's just grape vineyards. And all this is blessing, and land is restored, and people are returning. And then when you come to chapter 3, you see what I call the fullness of the revival in chapter 2. So here's the process. You will first see devastation. Do you all believe that coronavirus has devastated this planet? Not just with deaths, with jobs, with restaurants closing, with cities shut down completely for months at a time. So, but then we're going to go from devastation eventually into restoration. And then the restoration, by God, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me already. We're going to go from there into a very great end time revival. Now, what I want to focus on is this subject of, and the sun wonders in the heavens above, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, I noticed something one day when I was reading this, that this is repeated in Acts chapter 2. If you go to Joel 2, let's just take an English King James translation of the Bible, and then you go to Acts 2, there in verse 16 and 17, it is almost repeated word for word. So I had my two Bibles open, right? Joel 2, Acts 2, and I noticed something about 10 years ago that no one had ever preached that I'd ever heard. And it says, it's a word, it's a phrase from Joel, and it's a phrase that Peter changed when he quoted it in Acts chapter 2. It's almost identical except for this phrase. And it shall come to pass afterwards, saith the Lord. Then you go to Acts chapter 2. That's not how Peter said it. Peter said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit. Someone said, well, you're just being picky. No, I'm not. Because every word in the scripture, in my opinion, is there for a specific reason. So I wanted to dig this out. And I realized something, that when you look at what Joel said, after what? He will pour out his spirit after what? So what you have to do in the hermeneutics, the study of the Bible, is you take the verse and you start backtracking to previous verses to get the context of what he's talking about. And you know what he's talking about? Here it is. The restoration of Israel as a nation. Whoa. So he's saying after this restoration, God will begin to pour out his spirit. When was the restoration? Everybody knows this if you've heard me preach. May 14th, 15th, 1948, when the United Nations partitioned Palestine, gave the Jews a land in Palestine. President Truman, with the help of a rabbi, decided to obey the rabbi's commission and command to make it the nation of Israel, not Judea, not Judah, not Zion. Those were the three choices by the State Department. The rabbi said, it's God to be Israel, because it has to have the name that the prophets gave it for the end of time. And Harry Truman listened to his Jewish rabbi friend that he had served in World War I with in a foxhole. And that's why it was taken the nation of Israel, according to the State Department. They signed the paper and it became Israel. So 1948, it begins. What begins in 1948? The great healing revival in June with all those 10 evangelists, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, William Branham, Jack Cole, T.L. Lowry, Morris Sorella, they all, 100 preachers, began their ministry in 1948, the month after Israel became a nation. And guess what it was called? By Gordon Lindsay, who had the Voice of Healing in Dallas, Texas, who had a magazine, who had radio programs. I quote, because I have the magazines, from 1948 to 52, he called it the Great Restoration Revival. And why did they call it that? Because it was based on the restoration prophecy of Joel chapter 2. The land was now restored. Now, America entered the greatest 7 years of revival from 48 to 55 after Israel became a nation. Can I tell you why? Because the people were anticipating Jesus could come back now at any time. Preachers started, they hadn't been preaching this about the coming of the Lord. They hadn't talked about the rapture, the coming, the second coming, much. But when that happened, they knew, oh my goodness, all the ancient prophecies talk about Israel. Israel is now a nation. We didn't think it was ever going to happen in our lifetime. So there was, God touched the heart of the entire world in 7 years. And my dad was a part of that healing revival era. And brother, let me tell you, he saw Thea Jones lay hands on a garter and command that garter to go, and a woman swallowed it in War, West Virginia, in a tent. In North Carolina, true story, Monroe Horn stood on the platform 3 feet from Thea Jones, and he prayed for a young boy that his sister had drug him down the aisle of a packed out church because somebody said, oh, there's a man that can heal your brother. He's born without eyeballs. Now listen, he's got two sockets that are white with nothing on them. And when Thea prayed, in about 4.5 minutes, blue eyes came in that boy's, and he could see 20/20 vision. A pastor friend of mine was a young boy, and he was there, saw it happen. Fia then prayed for a Catholic priest. We're talking about the healing revival. They brought a Catholic priest on a cot to the Church of God camp meeting under the big tabernacle in Birmingham, Alabama. And he had a cancer all the way into his face. And when Fia prayed, actual fact, the cancer fell off on the floor. One of his buddies, bless his heart, he got drunk. He was a Catholic priest, but he got drunk because he's about to go to Pentecostal church and he didn't know what was going to happen down there. But his buddy, who was the drunk priest, was over there and was screaming and hollering because when cancer fell out on the floor, the priest jumped up, healed of cancer. Now, this went on for 7 years, but don't miss my point. It was an event which was restoration of Israel that triggered it. Now, we're going to follow through with this after I tell you what did Peter mean. So Peter then says it shall come to pass in the last days. And you go into the New Testament and it says, but we are now in the last days. Now, the question is this. Obviously, they were not in the last days that led to the coming of the Lord, or the Lord would have already returned. We think of the verses in the New Testament about the last days being the rapture, the return, the tribulation, which most of you agree with me. When you see last days, that's what you think about. But Peter knew a prophecy that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 24, and also you see this prophecy in Luke 21, where it says that you're going to see Jerusalem compassed with armies, you're going to see the temple burnt, you're going to see the temple go to the ground, and not one stone will be left upon another. And Jesus in Matthew 23 told them that they had shed innocent blood, and he said to them, all of this is going to come on this generation. They knew from Psalms 90 and other references in the Bible that a generation of unbelief was 40 years. Jesus is speaking this in about 32 AD, approximately, maybe 33, we're not sure. But in 70 AD, 37, 38 years later, what happened? The 10th Legion of Rome came in, they sacked the city, they breached the walls and the gates, they burnt the temple down by throwing a torch in the upper window, catching it on fire. And when everything cooled down, they toppled the stones in the temple to peel the gold off, and literally not one stone was left upon another. So this is important that you hear this. Why in the book of Acts is Barnabas selling his property in Jerusalem? Why is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 selling their property in Jerusalem? And yet in the book of Acts, you don't read where Iconium believers, you don't read where Ephesus, Smyrna, Laodicea, or any of the other churches are selling property. Here's the reason why. Jesus told them, Jerusalem will be desolate. There'll be nothing left. So Christians, I'm going to make a parallel here. Christians started getting out of the city of Jerusalem and moving outside of Judea. There was a warning on that one as well. Going to Pella, going into Jordan, going into Lebanon, and even got in ships and went into these other Gentile-dominated cities. And in 70 AD, ladies and gentlemen, when Jerusalem was destroyed, 7,000 Jewish bodies are on the platform in blood, and the Jews are being taken captive that are living back to Rome. The Christians had already left 2 years before based on an oracle of an angel of God to get out according to the early fathers, and they went to Pella in Jordan, where they built churches and built a major Christian community. Now, I just want to, I feel like just taking a break right here and talking to you for a minute and telling you, do you know the numbers of people that are leaving California? Somebody give them a high five for coming to God's country. Did you know? Okay. My sheriff James from Bradley County drove me up with security guard Dustin with my right-hand favorite friend, man, Charlie Ellis, and we got to drive back tonight. So if I preach long, just remember when you're in bed, I'm still driving. Because I got something to say in the next few minutes in the name of Jesus. Ho, ho. Do you realize that the state of Tennessee, it used to be Texas and Florida, but the state of Tennessee, according to U-Haul last year, said that the number one state most people are looking at, ready? Tennessee. Did you know that out of the 10 cities in the United States, 10, that believe in the Bible the most, study the Bible the most, and have more churches. Are you ready for what I'm going to tell you? This is not a Christian. This is a secular survey. The state of Tennessee has 3 of the 10 cities in the entire United States. Tri-Cities, Knoxville, and Chattanooga are on that list. Yeah. And so do you understand that we are now the number one state that people are moving to? Now, Ramp Ministry is in our facility called the Omega Center International. Most of you know that. And we get calls. My Voice of Evangelism office gets 5 to 10 calls a week. A week. Y'all got a house? Y'all got a house? Can y'all find us a house? Can you find us a place to stay? And we're having a hard time with houses, of finding houses in our town of Cleveland, Tennessee. We have 15 to 20 families coming from Nevada, Idaho, Oregon, California, and the West Coast. And they said, we are getting out of here because we believe there's a judgment that's coming. Come on, come on. Compare it to the city of Jerusalem. They knew, they felt it, they had prophetic words, and God is merciful to give people an opportunity to relocate. And I don't know about you, I happen to be glad I'm a hillbilly from the Appalachian Mountains. You didn't know I could move like that, did you? Son, I'll bust a moonwalk on you like Michael Jackson. Now, this is important because I don't want to miss the point that when he said in the last days, he was not talking about the last days leading to the return of Jesus. He was talking about the last days of Israel and Jerusalem and the Jewish people having control of the city. He knew it was coming because he had already had a word from Jesus. And so he says, now we're coming into the last days for everything here. And God is going to pour out his spirit. And do you realize, I feel the Holy Ghost talking about this. Do you realize that in those 38 years, with the help of Paul and Peter and the apostles, the gospel hit the entire Roman Empire. And then the end came for Jerusalem. Oh, we haven't started preaching yet. That's just my introduction. That's not what I want to tell you. That's called Rabbit Trail 1. All right, let's look at this. So he said, first of all, the sun's going to be turned to darkness. So what I want to do is I want to approach this from what we call rabbinical interpretation of the prophets. Rabbinical interpretation is basically the Jewish rabbis who've studied the prophets, and I don't want to go into all their teachings, the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Midrash, the Zohar, it'll just bog you down. And I don't recommend, you don't need to go into all that to study the Word of God. All you need is a good Greek-Hebrew dictionary and a Bible. Hello. That's all you need, okay? But I've studied this level before because of where I have to walk in the world in my teaching. Now, when the sun turns to darkness or the moon to blood, what does it mean? Because it's a very perplexing verse and has been debated for centuries by scholars. A rabbinical perspective is two parts. Number one, the sun being darkened is a full solar eclipse. The moon turning into blood is a complete lunar eclipse, but that's not where it ends, because those have happened for centuries. Those happen all the time. But it's when they fall on the day of a Jewish festival that it becomes significant. And you can track this down, that every time it ever fell on a Jewish festival in history, something connected to the Jews happened. Now, you all know, and I'm not going to bore you with stuff you already know, hopefully, but if you've not heard, it's interesting, that there was something called blood moons that a few years ago that came. The first one happened at Passover, first festival of Israel, and the blood moon came later in the fall at the festival of Tabernacles, last festival of Israel. Here's what's weird. The next year, the same day, now not on our calendar because the calendar shifts, but another blood moon happened the first day of Passover, and another blood moon happened at Tabernacles, the same time frame of the festival, back-to-back years. Now, that's 4 within 2 years, and that's astronomically almost impossible, but it's not the only time it happened. Now, I want you to track with me, because we haven't got to where I want to go yet, but you have to build. My lawyer friends, I got some high-level lawyers. I got a couple lawyers that eat nails for breakfast. I've almost turned them loose. I'm going to shut up. I've got some guy, okay, and my lawyer friend said, you should have been a lawyer, because we ain't never heard nobody that can actually take the Bible and do it like a court case, and you don't know where you're going, and then the punchline comes, and you go, ow! Right? So stay with me is what I'm saying, because the punchline's going to come in just a minute. Just stay with me. So, still here. So it's when there is a solar eclipse on a festival day. The sun is connected to the Gentile nations. The moon is connected with Israel. Israel is on a solar lunar calendar, but in the old days, the calendar was 360 days making year of 12 months of 30 days each. That's a fact. It changed around the 7th century BC. Now, when you see these blood moons on feast days, it gets interesting, because let me tell you two back-to-back years when the same thing happened at Passover and Tabernacles. Ready? When Columbus discovered America and the Jews were expelled from Spain. Back-to-back years. Jews are expelled, Columbus discovers America. Let me give you two more interesting dates, and I think you'll find this interesting. 1948, 1949. Back-to-back years on Jewish festivals, blood moons, full lunar eclipses. Why is that important? Because that was the year Israel became a nation again. And that was the year that in 1949, the Arab nations rose up against them to try to destroy them and run them out of the land. Then, guess what the third year was? Ready? Third year is 1967, 1968. Back-to-back years on Jewish festivals. So think about for just a moment, what's the chances of blood moons? The moon is Israel's symbol, right? Boy, I wish I had time to go in deeper with this, but I got to get to the main point. Why would it happen this way? Because Jesus said, remember Luke said this, there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nation with perplexity, watch, the sea and the waves roaring. Absolutely a reference to tsunamis right there. Because when a tsunami comes, they tell you the sea has a roaring sound. All right? Men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I have never seen people more afraid in the body of Christ. They're just terrified. They're afraid to come into church. They're afraid to go out in public. They're just afraid. All right, but then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. My point is, we have a progression going on here right now that the Holy Spirit is revealing to people who have discernment. And now let's, Jesus, help me, Jesus. All right, now here's the clincher. The clincher is this phrase that seldom gets preached on, and I will show wonders in the heavens above. There's your sun, moon, and stars. Signs in the earth beneath. Blood, fire, pillars of smoke. From a rabbinical standpoint, that is a reference to a major volcanic eruption. Now, if we look at it rabbinically, blood also means wars, because most of the time when there is a natural disaster, it has always led to warfare, either civil war of people fighting each other for food and water, or a national war where an enemy would take advantage of the nation's weakness. But there is blood, meaning death. There's death. He could say death, but it kind of wouldn't fit in. Death, fire, and pillars of smoke. When he said blood, fire, pillars of smoke, it makes more sense. I'm going to show you another interpretation of this in just a minute. Now, fire is the volcanic lava. It burns trees. It burns grass. It touches anything. It is so hot, bam, the trees are exploding. So there's fires that break out. Buildings are on fire. Homes are on fire. Cars get on fire when the lava hits it. Ask anybody in Hawaii, one of my favorite places, glory to God. But ask anybody in Hawaii that has to go through that. Now, he said blood and fire, and then he says pillars of smoke. I looked up the word pillar, and it means a column, like a palm, in the shape of a palm tree or a column of some kind. We would, you know what we'd call it today? A mushroom cloud. Pillars of smoke. What happens when a volcano erupts? Somebody talk to me. The ash goes into the air, and what does it form? It forms an actual pillar of smoke. So, everybody say this. Volcanic eruptions are the last sign. I'm going somewhere. Woo! Now watch. What if... Let's take this interpretation into a different dimension. What if the blood and the fire and the pillar of smoke may be a double reference to what I'm about to tell you? Number one, fighting and war. It's happening. Ready? Blood, fire. The Midwestern part of the United States burning, 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 and can't do anything about it. Blood, the fire. And what about the pillars of smoke being the volcanic eruption? See, any way you cut this, any way you look at it, you have volcanic activity. Now, you don't always see this on the news, because how many of you know the news is stuck in a cycle of its own? Whew, Jesus. This is from Smithsonian Institute. There has been an increase of volcanic activity the past 12 months, and every week there is a reported eruption somewhere in the world. The Smithsonian says, quote, there are presently 43 active volcanoes on the planet. Did you know that? 43. Did you know there's 20 erupting on any given day? Did you know that 28 of them that are erupting now, and this doesn't mean it's erupting to destroy, it means there's lava flow, there's smoke coming up, there's cracks, is in a place called the Ring of Fire. Oh, I don't know if you want me to preach on the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire is the coastal area around the Pacific Ocean. It includes, for example, the edge of all of the edge of west coast of California, west coast of Oregon, west coast of Washington State. It includes the southern part of all of Alaska. It goes over to the edge of the coastline of Russia and China. It includes the island of Japan. It goes all the way down into those islands, into Latin America, and where Chile is and some of the other countries are. And here's the part that really totally freaks me out. Ready? There are 425 volcanoes in the Ring of Fire. And in the book of Revelation, let's jump ahead of time. In the book of Revelation, it says there was an earthquake, a great earthquake. And you know the word great is mega in Greek. I don't know if you know that or not. But it's a mega earthquake, a mega great earthquake. And it's, watch this, and it says, and the cities of the nations fell. Guess if there's a great earthquake, because that whole area is one big plate under the ocean that connects like this. Guess what would happen if the whole Ring of Fire plate gave way at one time? Tokyo would fall. Wow. Let me just say this. 300 cities that sit, San Francisco would fall, Los Angeles would fall, Anchorage, Alaska would fall. The cities, it has to be like a 9 earthquake, or a 10, which can easily happen, but the cities of the nations will fall. I'm just going to tell y'all something right now. Let me take a little break and tell you, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved tonight. Seriously, like my wife says, seriously, I would really start serving the Lord. Not that I'm afraid I'm going to die tomorrow. Not that I'm afraid, COVID's going to kill me or you. Not that. No. It's the fact of I want to be right with God all the time. All the time. Okay? So let's follow through with this. Let me give you a verse, Revelation 8 and 8. I saw a mountain burning with fire that was cast into the sea, and one third of the sea became bitter, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Let me just talk to you about this. National Geographic, History Channel has already covered in some of their documentaries what I'm going to tell you. If a massive island, and we have them in the world, were to have a volcanic eruption, That would be a part of this. But then what happens is half of that volcano hits the ocean. When it falls into the ocean, it creates a massive tsunami. And if it's even if it's an underground volcano, it can shift that plate to where there could be 50 to 100 foot waves easy. What that would do, and this all makes sense when you read this prophecy, the sea becomes bitter with the acidic and the ash. We know that happens around any lake where there's an eruption, right? But the sea, you know, and imagine this, and a third of the ships are destroyed. How are a third of the ships destroyed? And the answer is, and science can answer this for you, major tsunami that hits the ship and tips it over and topples it. And you want to be here in the tribulation? People tell me all the time, hey, you know, I just believe if I don't, you know, if the rapture, if there's a rapture, there's such a thing as a rapture, I just believe that, you know, I'll be able to endure the tribulation. No, you won't. Let me tell you why, little sissy. Here's the reason why you can't. And if you can't come to church now when church is going on, when the Holy Ghost is moving, you've got Christian television, you've got Christian radio, you've got Bibles all over the place, you've got tent meetings on every street corner, you've got gospel music. You telling me you're going to have your head chopped off in the tribulation and you can't even stand it when somebody calls you a Christian holy roller? Preach, Perry. Let me tell you why volcanoes are important. Let me tell you why they're important prophetically. Let me tell you why they're important in the Joel prophecy. It goes back to the days of Lot. Now, I'm not going to preach this tonight because I'm going to, where am I going? Huntington, West Virginia. I got a major prophecy message I'm going to do, but I'm going to give you 1 ounce of it right now. Ready? Have y'all seen the floods hitting all of Europe? Flooding, I mean destruction, all right? You see the floods? That's a day of Noah sign. Fire is a day of Lot sign. And I have a friend named Gideon Shore. You know Gideon. I know you know Gideon real well. Was he your guy too at times when you went to Israel? So you know Gideon. Gideon shows me one day, he shows me a place at the Dead Sea. He says, do you see that mountain over there in Jordan? I said, I sure do. You remember this, Charlie? He said, do you see how dark it is on top? Yes. He said, there's a subterranean fire burning under that mountain, according to my brother-in-law, who's a geologist. And he said, as a matter of fact, if you go back, and I studied it, to the old historians that described the Dead Sea, there would be a crack that would come at the Dead Sea at the southern area, and fire would jump up through that crack. And there'd be a smoke of sulfur smell that would make people sick. It was purplish in color. And this goes back to about the 1700s. And some of your old 1700 Bibles, which somewhere I have one, shows a map drawn of the Dead Sea with purple smoke coming out of the bottom of it. Okay? That is the smoke of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction, because Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities destroyed, there were four of them, Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim in Genesis 14, they're listed, but they were destroyed, and my friend who is a geologist, Charlie's with me, he'll verify this, glad to have you, Charlie, to verify what I'm preaching, but this geologist will verify to you that Sodom was probably destroyed by an underground, ready, volcanic eruption. How do we know that? Because on the Jordanian side, we've seen it when we've gone to Petra, they can take you to where they see, you see all this old volcanic, you know, where the lava has hardened. And you see all of that, there's just, it's all over the place. And you say, why? Oh, this is from the subterranean fires and the explosions that took place centuries ago. So don't miss this. Lot's sign is volcanoes. Noah's sign is floods, as it was in the days of Lot and Noah. So will it be, Jesus said, in the coming of the Son of Man. Hey, and we got water and we got fire. Big time. Lord, I know I've been changed. I just felt like singing. Now, here's the part that comes in real heavy. I'm about to get into something really heavy right now. The assignment of Noah was, according to Hebrews, to build an ark to the saving of his house. Now, here's what it says. And Noah, by faith, built an ark to the saving of his house. And then another scripture says, Noah, being moved by fear, prepared. You didn't hear what I just said. Noah being moved by fear, the fear of the Lord and the fear of destruction. And I hear people say all the time, "I don't be afraid of nothing." You're stupid, because if you're not afraid of anything, you're going to put your hand on a hot stove one day and burn the fire off. You're going to burn the skin right off of it. You're going to go to a pit bull with AIDS and come up to some house and he's going to bite you on the leg and you're going to be in a hospital. Anybody listening? Beware of dog means beware of dog. And when you're in my country, beware of man with gun also means you better not break into his house. I don't know where that came from. I got in the flesh. I got in the flesh right there. That's the NRA coming out in me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I'm not going up to a house and knock on a door that says beware of dog, and I'm not going up to a house and try to break in. This guy ain't going to break in anyway. That's got a sign that says beware, forget the dog, beware of the owner. That's why I like preaching in Tennessee. Some of these places I go, they don't understand what I'm saying. What are you saying about that? What's the NBA? You say NBA, NFL? What was he saying just now? Okay. Noah's assignment was to save his family. Watch this. Why did Abraham intercede for 10 souls and say, if you have 10, will you spare the city? And God said, I'll spare Sodom for 10. Because when Abraham saw him going, it was Lot, his wife, that's two. Two daughters that were virgins, that's four. And the Bible says he had sons-in-law, plural, and daughters, plural. And there were 10 that went into the city, but Lot didn't know half of them had backslid by the influence of Sodom. So when he warned them, they mocked him. Remember, it says they mocked him and made fun of him. So here's the thing I want to tell you. Whew. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. In the days of Lot and Noah, the focus is the children. The focus is the family. So what God wants to do, now watch the Joel 2 prophecy. Sons and daughters, there's your children. Servants and handmaidens, there's the mom and the dad. Did anybody just feel something when I said that, or was that just me? This means that the final outpouring, I've heard it preached for years, sons and daughters are prophesied. Don't leave the dreams out of the old men and the visions of the young men. He's got two groups going on here at one time. He's got the young mixing with the old. And he's got the fathers and the sons. And he's got the mothers and the daughters. Now, y'all better clean your ears out, because I'm about to go somewhere in about 3 minutes. And I want you to hear it. Now, having kept keeping that in mind, that old and young are mentioned together, I want to show you something that I think is very, very significant that I feel like the Lord gave me. Okay? I am a why person. When I study the Bible, I say why. I say, why is that there? What does that word mean? Why is that word? Does that word match that word? That's how you study. I read this verse. I read about the outpouring. Before the tribulation comes, here's this outpouring. And I ask myself, why? Why now? Why then? One day, right before I went to Louisville, Kentucky, I was in my office. You know where that is. It's upstairs at VOE now. I got a big office. Pam fixed that thing up nice. And so I've got a beautiful office, and I'm meditating, and I said, God, why? And he said, study wars in America and what happened before or during the war. Do y'all know that something really weird starts emerging if you'll study this? Did you know during the Revolutionary War against England and Britain, the churches were having great revival breakout? Ready for this? Here's a big one that you won't hear in history. During the United States Civil War, the troops from the North were having Bible studies, prayer meetings, and being baptized in creeks. Ready for this? The troops from the South had chaplains who were preaching to them eternal salvation and the necessity of repenting of any sin that's in their life before they go to battle. And there was revival hymn singing, Bibles handed out. And I actually have a New Testament that was found in Tennessee at a person's yard right after the Civil War, and the soldier lost it. It's got his whole name in it. I cherish it. Someone gave it to him, his mother, apparently. And we don't know if he died in battle or not, but the Bible was still there on the battlefield. Now watch this. Both sides of the North and the South were having prayer meetings. And they weren't praying, let us win. They were praying over their souls. All right? Ready for this? Stay with me. World War I, World War II. Let me talk about World War II. I have a Bible that I found in an antique store. You know you're old when you love antique stores. And you know you're getting real low when you look at the toys you played with that you should have saved and sold in the antique store. Hello. I love ball cards. I have one of the number one ball cards in America right now that they don't even know what it's worth. It's going to go to auction probably. It's a one of one Aaron Rodgers signed rookie card for you that collect cards, okay? What was I going to say? Lord, I'm getting so carried away with what I'm about to say right here. What was I going to say? Let me go back to what I was going to say. World War II. I was talking about the antique shops. I find a New Testament. Now watch what the government used to do. That was printed by President Roosevelt that had the plan of salvation in it. Wait. Democrat Roosevelt. Now think about how it's changed, right? I'm talking about how it's changed. Printed the plan of salvation in a New Testament and gave it to the United States military. It was a military New Testament for the Navy, the Army, and the Marines, and every other branch, because they wanted them to go to battle with the Word of God. Amazing. I have the Bible. It says under the order of President Roosevelt, and I'm like, how things have changed. You can't even give a Bible to somebody on the street now with somebody complaining about it. Are you here? Say yes. Yes. So I got to thinking about World War I, and then I studied Germany. Now track with me on Germany. World War I, Germany lost so many husbands, fathers, and brothers that there was a shortage of men in Germany. So when Hitler came to power, I don't know if you know what his, you know, not his name, but what they called him in Germany, Father. He made himself the father of the nation because there was a shortage of men in Germany at that time. And of course, he rebuilt an army. He used a lot of young men, if you know what the story. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. The reason the greatest outpouring in history is about to happen before the tribulation is there will be possibly 4 billion people killed in the tribulation. And I can take you the numbers. Present world population, 1/3 killed, 1/4 killed, 1/3 killed. Do the numbers. We're talking about so many deaths. And listen to me carefully. God, in his mercy, will allow signs to come to be preached by people like your pastor and myself to wake the eyes of the people up from their slumber, to get them to turn totally back to the Lord, so that if the judgment comes, the nuke comes, Yellowstone blows up, New Madrid goes off, West Coast San Andreas fault goes up at an 8 or a 9, and buildings are collapsing. If they go and pass away, they will never have time to pray. God is going to send a final move to bring in the harvest so that people will be ready to meet him should something happen. We'll say this. Well, I'm almost done, by the way, but watch this. Matthew chapter 9:17. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine in new. And you know, in Greek, one of them, and I'd have to study this out, but said that when it says new wine in a new bottle, that word could have reference to renewing a bottle. Not doing away with it, but renewing it, okay? And then both are preserved. All right, this is not, forget bottles. You think of a glass bottle. This is what's called a wineskin. It was an animal. They skinned it. For you pita lovers, I'm sorry, but you know what I'm saying there. This is what they did. And they would take it and they would sew the legs together in the front, the legs together in the back, and they would take the neck, and that would be where the spout was. And you could carry water in it. You could carry oil in it if you wanted to. Sometimes they carried a juice in it, which was called wine. Now, if they kept it by itself too long, especially if they mixed it with any kind of sugar, it would ferment. When it fermented, if the wine skin was pliable, it would expand when the fermentation took place. If it was old, brittle, and dry, I'm about to say something here, then what was going on in it, it couldn't take. So it would destroy both the wine and the wine skin. Okay, old bottles does not mean old people. I used to think it meant old people versus young people. You know, no. Old bottles is an old way of thinking that does not fit with what God's doing. Oh, I've preached in the churches years ago where revival broke out and the crowds got like this. We had chairs here, chairs there. We had people in the grass sitting around. And I preached where the older people got mad because they lost their seats. And they lost their parking spot. I heard them fussing. They got my seat, bless God, and I was here long before they were. Well, if you want your seat, why don't you get your little tail up and get to church a little earlier than you get there, and maybe you'll get your seat. I'm sorry for saying tail. No, I'm not. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, it's a way of thinking. All right? I'm going to say this. Now, Vicky's here. She'll know this. Charlie will know this. But I built something called Omega Center International that was built for what? What was it built for? Young people, oh yes. And we started a church with Mark Casto, who's a dear friend of mine, with young people, and it began. But here's what happened. Then the mom and dad wanted to get in on the move of God. And then the mom and dad invited uncle and grandma to the move of God. And suddenly it became a place where there was a move of God. So adults start coming, right? And then it got bigger and bigger. We went from 80 to 100 to 2 to 3 to 400 people in a little hall. And then we moved it from the little hall to the big hall. And somebody came up with the bright idea that we should start a church. That was just somebody that wanted to start a church. But I came up with the right idea. And my wife said, this is not from the Lord. She told me, this is a gathering place. You're going to make it a church and you're going to mess it up. And guess what? I did a transition, first of all, because God told me to. And I did a transition, number two, because my doctor in California said you'll be dead in 2 years if you don't transition and get the pressure off of you. I said, you know what? I think I'll get the pressure off of me. I mean, this guy was serious. I don't want to say too much about him. He's a well-known man. So I came back and I took this beautiful building. I own it. VOE owns it. It is still ours. I still preach there. I can get up and preach when I want, how I want, anytime I want. I just don't want. Because I was killing myself preaching to people. Half of them didn't even listen to what I told them to begin with. So I said to myself, I ain't doing this again. So I preach once a month. But do you know, I found out something, that not everybody, and they're good people, by the way, they're all good people, but not everybody can go with you with the new wine. So what do? You bless people. You put a blessing on them. You speak life over them and blessing and say, well, we love you. Thank you for the season. But I'm telling you something, what the Lord told me to tell you. You ready? Joshua and Caleb and 10 spies, total of 12, spied the land for 40 days, and 10 people came back with the old wineskin. Oh, can't do it. There's giants in the land, and it's got walled cities, and oh my God, they're going to squish us like we're grasshoppers. And Caleb and Joshua said, wait, shut up. Yeah, there's walled cities, yeah, there's giants, but we can take the land because God said we could take the land. That's why we can take the land, because God said we could take the land. Right? So they get back to the camp, and we don't know how many. Let's just use conservative. 2 million people heard 10 men say it can't be done, and 2 million people had to go in circles for 40 years in a dry place in a wilderness, all because their wineskin was too stiff. And they couldn't expand into God's vision. And the Bible says about Joshua and Caleb, ready? This is for somebody here. They had another spirit. And they said, we're going to take it. And 85 years of age and 80 years of age, I'm going somewhere now, two old men. That's not old. It's older. When I was 18, 25, 30 looked old. When I was 30, 40 looked old. When I was 40, 50 really looked old. I'm 62, baby. Ain't nothing looks old now. No. 70, no. 75, no. 80, no. 85, man. 90's cool. 100. Yeah, Lord. Two men, older, took a whole generation of six, hundreds of thousands, all under 40, and taught them how to fight, and taught them how to pray, and taught them how to believe, and took 31 cities with kids, ready, with kids that had never fought a battle. That had never really been in war. They'd been in the wilderness. But they had a teachable spirit. Are you listening? That's the key. Do you, at 70 and 80 and 85 and 60 and 65, do you have a teachable spirit like Joshua and Caleb? Can I tell you, I don't have to go Karen Wheaton's ramp on Tuesday. I don't have to go and preach again if I didn't want to. I will go and sit there and listen to Braden sing and the glory. Brother, I'm telling you, the past couple of services, am I telling the truth? She goes there, the glory's been hitting. We've been having prayer lines, people falling out, getting saved, delivered, healed of cancer. It's getting crazy. It's getting crazy around there. It's just like this big flow is going on now. I'm 62, and I could sit there and do this. I just don't like the way the service is going. I just don't like the way the service is going. Well, why? Well, first of all, I think they sing too long around here, and they got them crazy lights going on with smoke machines. My God, they're smoking in a church. So, the music was loud, so you know what we decided to do? We don't want to run older people off that thinks the music loud. We have an earplug ministry right in the back. Vicky, am I telling the truth? We have a whole bucket of earplugs, and if the music's loud, we say, we invite you to have your earplugs, and when the preaching starts, you can take them out. And we have people, we got people 70, 80 years old, got the earplugs on, and they're offbeat. You can tell they ain't hearing anything because they're clapping offbeat and they're singing the song offbeat. But you know what? I want them all there. But I don't want people there with a bad attitude, a sorry attitude, a gossiping attitude, a critical attitude, a backbiting attitude. God bless you, go your way. But God's about to raise up, are you hearing what I'm saying? A Joel 2 generation of moms and dads, of servants and handmaidens, of sons and daughters that's going to get together. So if Jesus tarries and I'm 85 and we have Warrior Fest number 333, and Papa P got to come in on a walker. I may come in on a walker, but I got news for you. I'm going to put me some banners on that thing. And when these kids are up dancing, I'm going to lift up that thing and start shaking it before God. You ain't going to leave me out of this. Devil, you ain't going to trick me to give up to get out of this. People that's gossiping and backbiters, you ain't going to hinder me from getting out of this. I've come too long. I've been preaching 46 years. I've been fighting devils most of that time. And I know how to fight. And I know how to stand. And I know what God's about to do. And hey, I'm going to get it on now. You can too. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can too. I grew up around the Redback Hymnal, right? I know we don't sing a lot of Redback Hymnal songs, but if I want to hear Redback Hymnal, I'll go to Bill Gaither on YouTube. Hallelujah. Every now and then, just come on, Bill, sing a Redback Hymnal. And I'll sit there and hoop and holler, get up and run around my desk three times. But you ain't going to let me criticize when a bunch of people are singing a worship song that might be new to me. Are you kidding me? I got a wineskin that knows how to stretch. I got a wineskin that knows when I'm fermenting on the inside, not to leak any of it out. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes, Lord. So I want to wrap this up and tell you this, that in this last move of God, it's going to require youth and older. How do I know that? Joel 2, Acts 2, how do I know that? One of the last signs that Malachi gave was Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. There's that phrase again. There it is. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Who will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. Two stories I'm going to tell you. One of my closest friends in all the world is Jensen Franklin. And I knew Jensen before he was ever married. Pam and I got married in April 2nd, 19. This is my last story. April 2nd, 1982. And do you know that the next day I was driving to a revival, and the next night I was preaching a three-week revival in Gastonia, North Carolina, and a little old skinny, bro, I'm telling you, skinny. I think he's skinny now, he was skinny. Jensen Franklin's up there playing a saxophone, and he was just called into the ministry. I said to my wife, you see that kid? Keep your eye on him. God's going to take him a long, far way into the things of God. I knew it by his spirit, so we became very close friends. Now, Jensen... We were talking one day, and I'm going to tell you a story in just a moment, and I'm not going to go into detail because there's one part of it I don't have permission to tell. Now, he's going to tell this on TV when his plan is set up that God gave him. He'll share it publicly, okay? I'm going to let him do that, but I'm going to give you the one part that I want to tell. Boy, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost here. Praise God. He said, Perry, I have a question I ask the Lord occasionally. He said, I go to Free Chapel Worship Center. I remember when they asked him to go. I shouldn't say this, but it happened. We were on a bus in Israel together, and he looked despondent. I said, you okay? He said, you know, I feel led to take a church in Gainesville, Georgia called Free Chapel. Runs about 300, 253 under the pastor. I think the pastor passed away is what happened. They asked Jensen to come. And he said, but I called the Church of God Youth Department, and they told me it would be my doom and I would amount to nothing if I took that church and left the Church of God. He said, what do you think I should do? I said, I think you should leave the Church of God. Now, he didn't leave. He still got an ordination because they let him keep it, even though it's a whole nother denomination. But I said, go do what God told you, Jensen. Now, the rest is history because he's got five campuses now, maybe six going on that run. Look, I love preaching at that church because there's usually an extra 1,000 people that show up, and it gets crazy with about 3,500 people rocking that house. Now, I go nuts, they go nuts, we go nuts, and I get up and say, I wish Pastor would leave more often so I could come and preach for him. We're very close friends. He said to me, and I start thinking about it, Bethel, the head of Bethel, is an older man. IHOP, although they have a lot of young people, the head director is older. Karen Wheaton with the Ramps had half a million young people. She's in her 60, about my age. I'm 62. I'm not sure Jensen, has Jensen hit 60 yet? He's not, has he? I just hate that. Marcus is older than me, though, right? I can always look at Marcus Lamb and say, you're older than me, ha-ha, because I do it all the time. So we grew up together, right? Now, but he said, I don't understand. And I'm going to tell you something. I feel the same way sometimes. Why didn't you tell me to do this when I was 40? I mean, when I could have a prayer line. I used to pray with 500 people a night, every night. And still could pray for another 500 if they showed up. Can't do that now. I have a physical body that I'm getting stronger and stronger, but I was near death about a year and 5 months ago physically. I'm I'm not playing a joke with you when I tell you that my numbers were so bad, the doctor said, you should be with a stroke, on the floor, with a heart attack, right now. And I don't know how you're not. Then he found out I was a preacher, and he said, well, that might be it. He said, that might be one of the reasons you're still around. So I'm going to tell this story, and I want you to hear this. Jensen called me, and again, I'll be a little vague. I want him to publicly tell what God has told him. He was in the city of Jerusalem about 2 years ago, and they had to get up early and go to catch a flight back to the United States. And his wife, Sharice, is there with him, of course, and she's sleeping, and it starts raining so hard. Did you hear him tell this to you? Has he told you this? It started raining so hard that he thought the building was going to collapse. He said, I've never heard rain that hard. So he wakes up. She's kind of woke up by now a little bit. And he says, all of a sudden, and he's just on the phone, just about in tears. You can tell it by his voice is breaking. He said, Perry, all of a sudden, as I lay in the bed, I heard the audible voice of God, not in my spirit, speak to me. Now, I can't give it to you the way he can, but the Lord said to him, there was a minister of the gospel years ago that I raised up many years ago to teach the world about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he did it for a season, but he had a failure that affected it, and it hindered that moment of time. But God says, but I'm about to revisit with the greatest outpouring of the Spirit. This is God. Now, this is legit speaking to him in the rain. He said, now, first of all, the sign of it happening will be, and he gave him a sign that I'm going to eliminate because it involves a major ministry. By the way, it's not mine. And he said, when that happens, you will know that's the trigger point that this is about to happen. The Lord spoke to him and said, auditoriums are going to be filled. And he said, oh, praise God, I'm going to get to go overseas and preach. That's wonderful. God said, I didn't tell you overseas. They're going to be filled here in America. This is God Almighty audibly speaking this out. He said, Perry, I can hear the voice of God in the rain, and it's coming. And he said, I screamed at Sharice, go get a pen and piece of paper, write down what I'm saying. Just please turn a light on. So she went to the desk and wrote it down. And he said this, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but God said to him, there has been a generation of preachers who call themselves seeker-sensitive that will not allow my spirit to work in their church. God Almighty said to Jensen, I am leaving them completely out of this next move of my spirit. They have offended the Holy Spirit because they have allowed their flesh to determine what is and what is not the move of God. Oh, they got it. You can have a crowd. You can pack it out. You can stand around only. But where are you when you need to be healed? You need a devil cast out. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Where are you going to go then? And God spoke to him and said, there are people, and Jensen is one of them, that you have never compromised the power of the Holy Ghost. He's never compromised it. He's never given up on it. When I go to preach in Orange County, there are literally, Charlie, I'm telling the truth, there are 1,000 people, 1,000 that run to the front, and I have no room to move. They are on the platform. They're on the front. They're on the side, and I can't even walk between them to lay hands on them to get the Holy Spirit. Orange County, California. It happens every single time we go. The police direct traffic. There's overflow rooms all over the place. Hunger. They don't leave. They don't get, I'm going to get up and leave. Bless God, you offended me. You don't see that there. When people are hungry and they have not too many places to go to, you won't see them church hopping. They're because they're hungry. Okay, listen. My name came up as one of the men who had never compromised the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And to know that God speaks that. And he says, Perry, you're going to be in on this last move of God that God's about to send. You're going to be able to. So I'm going to say this one part, and then that's all I'm going to say. He called me a few weeks ago, and he said, the provision is already there to do this. He said, we're looking right now at 10 U.S. cities. We are going to rent an auditorium that seats 10,000. We are opening it up only to young people. And we're going to preach one thing. Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said to me, he said, I want to get with you to see how many of these you can preach. Honey, can I tell you something? I'll clear my schedule to preach that. Because that's where God is going. That's why Warrior Fest exists. Y'all know that. That's why that OCI building is there. The devil tried to take my boy out with drugs and almost killed him twice. And I said, devil, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for this. And I'm going to tell you something. He's still paying. Hallelujah. He's still paying. I get to do Warrior Fest at that facility. I get to participate in Winter Ramp in my facility. I get to go to Hamilton, Alabama when Karen has those ramps. Anytime I want to go, I get to minister down there. I get to get in Williams Creek and baptize about 500 kids. Are you kidding me? I have moved from the gates of hell to the gate of heaven to see what God's going to do in this last day. Now, the first thing first, if you have been away from the Lord, if you have let people pull you down, if you've, come on, there are church people that'll pull you down if you let them. It's true. But if you have been affected somehow in your spirit with your walk with God, and it's been a circumstance, maybe it's a problem that you've dealt with and you say, I just can't get over it, so why even try? I want you to bow your head. We're going to do two altar calls. This is the first one right now. If you have, and those of you in the overflow room as well, we're speaking to you. Please, we're not leaving you out. We want you to know. But if you have been away from the Lord and you know it, and you've come tonight and you have felt a spark of God's presence, and you want God to touch you again, raise your hand and let me see it all over this building. God bless you. There's a hand, 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 a hand. Thank you. Overflow room as well. I want you to stand to your feet. And I don't want you to be ashamed, because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will deny you in heaven before my Father. I want you to stand, and I want you to walk down to the front, because I want to pray for you down here where the power of God's been moving. Just come on down here right now. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, even if you're a visitor. Just come on down here. Anybody in the overflow room that has raised their hand can come out through that side door right now. And if somebody will help me get the overflow room folks here. Hallelujah. Young people, do you want to stand up and come up here on the platform with me if you want to? Just come up here and sit up. All the young people, come up here and sit. That way we're going to have some room for everybody coming. There's a lot of folks coming. Father, I thank you right now. Keep coming. Thank you. Right down here. Come on over here on this side. Praise God. Now, every one of you are here for a reason, and you're here for a purpose, and it's not by coincidence, neither is it by accident, that the Holy Spirit put it in your heart to come. God wants your heart. He wants what's in here. If he gets your heart, he'll get your mind. If he gets your heart, he'll get your mind. He'll have your body as his temple. Amen? But keep coming. They're still coming. I don't want to start praying until everybody's in here. Now, we're going to ask the congregation on this one to stand to your feet and get ready to pray with us. And when we pray, Pastor, where are you at? I want Pastor to... If he has something to say to them, I want you to say it right after this, okay? Whatever you want to do after this moment. And then we're going to have a Holy Ghost service to follow it up, okay? So I want you to come when I'm through praying. Raise your hands and say this out loud with me. Most of you know how to pray, but pray this first prayer with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you that your word has touched me. And I want to thank you that your Spirit told me this moment is for me. So right now, this is what I want to pray. Cleanse me, my body, my mind, my spirit, of all sin of any kind. Something I did that I know I shouldn't do. And maybe things I did that I wasn't sure about. But I want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to know that I'm saved and I'm born again. So cleanse me by the blood of Jesus right now. Set me free in my spirit right now. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Now lift your hands and begin to love on the Lord from your own heart. Love the Lord right where you are. Don't quit. Don't quit. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Father, I thank you. Let him hear your words. Let him hear your words. Let him hear your words in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
For those of you that are down here right now, I want some of my prayer team members. We have a booklet that we prepared just for you tonight. In this little booklet, it tells you what to do next. It tells you how to chase God. It tells you how to pursue the Lord. It's simple. You can read it at night. Let me just tell you what you need to do. I don't care if it's in this church or another church, but you need to get a church home. You need to get plugged in. Because life is too hard to do alone. You need somebody to do it with you. And listen, you're only as on fire as the people you hang around. So you need a church family that's on fire. Get plugged into a church. Get you a Bible and start in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read about Jesus right now and fall in love with the lover of your soul. It's the most important thing for you. And listen, you don't have to be a professional at prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. So get in a church home, get you a Bible, start reading about Jesus. And number three, start talking to God. And ask God to help you every day, every moment. And when the enemy comes to try to steal from you, you push the devil back and you say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And you live for him and you don't back up. Come on, somebody say amen to that. You don't back up. Amen. So I want to pray over all of you who've come right now. Father, I thank you for every single one of these men and women, boys and girls that have given their life to you, that have rededicated their walk to you. Now, Lord, set them on fire. From heaven, we pray in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a shout.
Now, this is real important. The Spirit of the Lord is moving, and I'm going to ask God to either fill or refill everybody in this building with the Holy Spirit. Now, right where you are, you got to clear everything out of your mind. Forget time. Forget who's to your left. Forget who's to your right. Just forget about everything. The overflow room is the same way. If the person beside you isn't praying loud, don't worry about it. It's not, you know, just let them do what they do. But I'm going to ask God. I'm going to pray a prayer over you, and I'm going to say, now, lift your hands and receive. When I say that, I know how the Lord works. Let the Holy Spirit give you the prayer language of the Holy Ghost, that speaking with tongues, it is a real gift. It's not a fake gift. But let the Holy Spirit fill you with His power, with His presence. Some of you may feel it very little at first. You just sense the presence. You'll just sense peace. That's fine. But just continue to ask the Lord to fill you up. Now, if you don't believe, nothing will happen. You're a believer. You love Jesus. But in this particular area, you must have faith that God's will is to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Let's raise our hands right now. Everybody at one time. Father, I want to thank You for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to thank You for the gift. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we begin to pray all at once, we ask You that when they open up their heart, first of all, and their spirit, their inner spirit, that the power of the Holy Spirit will loose them in Jesus' name and will give them deliverance and freedom from every hindrance. Now, Spirit of God, from the front to the back in the overflow room, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit fall upon the people. Stir up the gift right now in Jesus' name. Lift your voice three times as loud. Are you ready? Receive the power of the Holy Ghost right now. There you go. Stir it up. Stir it up, young people. Oh, yeah. Jesus, don't quit for 5 minutes. Come on, just begin to worship in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on now. Receive.
Jesus. Come on, that's it, folks. Receive everything that heaven has for you right now. I'm going to ask the musicians just to stop. Come on, for 30 more seconds, let's lift our voice in this room and just begin to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you folks.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Come on, that's it. In the overflow room, turn it loose. Come on, you've been holding back for so long.
Yes, Lord.
Aren't you tired of just normal? Come on, let the power of the... I feel a wave of God coming into the room right now. I really feel led to do this. I want us to take just another minute here, and we're going to stir up the gift of God again. But as the Holy Ghost is praying for you, I want you to feel in your spirit, man, that you're targeting that prayer for God to pour out revival all over this city, all over this county, even the multiple 5 or 6 counties that's around it. Come on, let's pray in the Holy Ghost for revival. Come on, I need some intercessors that know how to lift their voice, cry loud, and spare not right now. Back. We call in the prodigals who are in the pig pen, who were raised in the house of God, but they've been drawn away. We call them back. We bind the spirit of addiction. We bind the spirits of perversion. We bind the spirits of deception. Lord, from the mountains of Kugel, we speak against COVID, you foul, unclean spirit that is invading this world. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. We plead the name of Jesus against you. We plead the word of God against you. Lord, put a bubble all around this whole region. Stop the drums. Put a bubble around this whole region. We decree and declare, not in this place. Not in this place. Father, if there's anybody in this room that has sickness in their body right now, Lord, let that healing wave just start right here at the platform. Begin to move all the way back to the back of the building, into the overflow. Let that healing wave come. Lord, let people tonight be healed instantly before they leave this building. Demonstrate yourself as Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord, our healer tonight. I want to give a little testimony to you before we turn out. I have not told our church family that I've been looking at buildings and property. We've just worked on what God, we've not really talked about it much public. There's some intercessors in here that know. But Pam and I believe the Lord spoke to us and said that God was going to do something, and God put on my heart and said, you need to start looking now. And I haven't really talked about it, and we've looked at several different buildings. One of the buildings today we looked at, and Jonathan, this is Jonathan McClanahan. He makes McClanahan instruments. So all of your big bluegrass people that's on Opry and all of that, he makes instruments, guitars and mandolins. Very gifted guy. Jonathan, did I not say before service tonight, and Perry was not in there listening to us, I said, Jonathan, God has shown me a potential building. I said, but I need God to give me a sign. I said, I need $50,000 to $60,000 to come in. Did I not say that right before service? I told him, I said, I need God to take care of the first 5 or 6 months if that's what he wants to do. Didn't tell Perry, not a single week. Somebody better turn loose and give God some crazy praise in this room right now. Yes! Jesus. So, huh? That was before Perry got there. I said, I need God to give me a sign. I'll tell you what I need. I really need about $50,000 to $60,000 to take care of several months worth of before I don't even have to worry. I said, I'll be able to move in. We won't even have to worry about it. And then God will provide the rest. Is that not what we said? Nobody knew that. I hadn't even uttered those words out of my mouth until this afternoon. Nobody knew that. Only God could have put something like that together. So I don't know what's getting ready to happen here. But here's what I know. We're going to be a church on fire. We're going to be a church that's pursuing the presence of Almighty God. And over the last 3 or 4 Wednesday nights and Sundays, we've been having people demon-possessed coming into the services. Somebody last week showed up and said, I'm the archangel of Cookville, and God sent me with a word. I said, well, I'm the angel of this house, and God hasn't told me that. But we can get that devil out of you if you want it out. I stood right here in this altar with a woman screaming at her husband. And I said, I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, honey, if you'll let me, I can get that devil out of you. I know that's crazy talk. And I know we've gotten so used to church as normal, and we're scared it's going to scare it. Listen. Everybody's worried about COVID. They're scared of something. I just don't think the Holy Ghost is going to scare anybody in this generation. Amen? All right. Perry is somewhere, but I know that he can hear you. Would everybody let Perry Stone know how much you appreciate him coming to preach to you guys? All right. Sunday morning, God has already given me a message. I'm preaching a message entitled Big Doors, Small Hinges. Sunday morning, 10:30, come ready to chase God. No time limits. Chasing God. Wednesday night, our next speaker is going to be here, and I'm believing every week it's going to get better and better. And between now and next Wednesday night, I will have fans, like big fans, to blow air, and we'll make sure you stay cool. All right, I love you guys. Hang out as long as you want. Please take your time coming out of the parking. Be careful. There's going to be a lot of people moving in a lot of directions. I love you guys. I'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.